Luke chapter 22. Excuse me. Give you a second to turn there. Give you a hint, it's in the New Testament. Amen. If you can't find it, just stay where you are and smile, and we'll just go on. Amen. Just shake your head like you're reading it. Luke 22. Let's pray before we let the Word of God deal with our hearts today. Father, we sure love you, and we thank you again that we can come to you in prayer. We can come boldly to the throne of grace because of the blood of Jesus Christ. That veil that was rent from top to bottom allows us access because of our high priest, Jesus Christ. And Lord, we thank you that we can come to you, and we come to you as needy people. And Lord, we need you to show up today and breathe on this service and bless it for your honor and your glory, Lord. Bless on the children's church, their service downstairs, Lord, that you'd make it crystal clear that if any of those kids are lost on their way to hell, that they'd see the need to get saved, and before it's too late, they'd do that. And Lord, just bless the teachers down there, that they give them the truth and guide them, and your Holy Spirit have free will there and here. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, Luke chapter 22, we're going to begin in verse 19 and look at some things by the grace of God today. I apologize, clear my throat enough for some reason. Let me get another drink before we get started. Got three of them. Thank you, though. If they don't do it, I think I'm done. I might not be able to talk, but I'll be hydrated. Luke chapter 22, beginning verse 19. And he took bread and gave thanks and broke it and gave unto them, saying, "This is my body which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." Likewise also the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you. But behold, the hand of him that betrayeth me is with me on the table. And truly the Son of Man goeth, as it was determined. But woe unto that man by whom he is betrayed." And they began to inquire among themselves which of them it was that should do this thing. And there was also a strife among them, which of them should be accounted the greatest. And he said unto them, "The kings of the Gentiles exercise lordship over them, and they that exercise authority upon them are called benefactors. But ye shall not be so. But he that is greatest among you, let him be as the younger, and he that is chief is he that doth serve. For whether is greater, he that sitteth at meat, or he that serveth? Is not he that sitteth at meat? But I am among you as he that serveth. Ye are they which have continued with me in my temptations. And I appoint unto you a kingdom, as my Father hath appointed unto me, that ye may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom." And that kingdom's coming one of these days, amen, on the throne of David on this earth. "And sit on thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren." And he said unto him, "Lord, I am ready to go with thee, both into prison and to death." And he said, "I tell thee, Peter, the cock shall not crow this day, before thou shalt thrice deny that thou knowest me." And he said unto them, "When I sent you without purse and scrip and shoes, lacked ye anything?" And they said, "Nothing." Then said he unto them, "But now he that hath a purse, let him take it, and likewise his scrip. And he that hath no sword, let him sell his garment and buy one. For I say unto you that this that is written must yet be accomplished in me. And he was reckoned among the transgressors, for the things concerning me have an end." And they said, "Lord, behold, here are two swords." And he said unto them, "It is enough." And he came out and went as he went to the Mount of Olives, and his disciples also followed him. And when he was at the place, he said unto them, "Pray that ye enter not into temptation." And he was withdrawn from them about a stone's cast, and kneeled down and prayed, saying, "Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done." And there appeared an angel unto him from heaven, strengthening him, and being in agony, he prayed more earnestly. And his sweat was as it were great drops of blood falling down to the ground. And when he rose up from the prayer and was come to his disciples, he found them sleeping for sorrow, and said unto them, "Why sleep ye? Rise and pray, lest ye enter into temptation." As we look back through these verses, back beginning in verse 19, I want to see some things today. I know the Word of God won't return void. I know the Word of God will do what He wants it to do if you let it. But I want to look at some things by the grace of God today that I believe will help us out. And our goal is always to leave here more like Jesus Christ and to have a better understanding of His sacrifice and a more of a love for what He's done, for who He is and what He's done and what He's doing, and an appreciation. But in verse 19 and 20 it says, "And he took bread and gave thanks and brake it and gave it to them, saying, This is my body which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. Likewise also the cup after supper, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you." That verse 20 is important for a couple reasons. It tells us about the blood. But every word of God is pure, and every word's in there for a reason. God doesn't make mistakes. God has a purpose for everything He does. And it says, which is shed for you. And there are a group of folks out there today that believe that God's blood was not an atonement for the Jews. It was just for the Gentiles. And God's blood wasn't an atonement for them. It's just some crazy stuff, the way people try to hyper-divide everything and get so, you look at me, I found something new. Well, how about getting on the old stuff and forget about looking for something new? Amen? You look for something new long enough, you're going to find something wrong. You're going to chase the wrong thing. But here it's talking to the disciples, which were Jews. You know what he said? The blood is shed for you. He's talking directly to them. These verses were written to them, for us, but to them. But here he is talking about his body. "This is my body which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. Likewise also the cup after supper, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood." So if there's a New Testament, there had to have been an Old Testament. Amen. "Which is shed for you." The first thing I want to see as we look at these verses is a supper. And that supper, we know that we're saved by grace through faith. If you're here today and you're going to heaven, it's because you put your faith in Jesus Christ. "For by grace you saved through faith, and not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." You have nothing to brag on except Jesus Christ. We have nothing to boast about except Jesus Christ. If this church ever, God ever uses it, breathes on it, and does anything with it, it's not because of us, it's because of Jesus Christ. And if you ever witness to somebody and they hit their face, call out to Jesus Christ, trust Him as Lord and Savior, it's not because of us, it's because of the Word of God. It's because of Jesus Christ. It's because of the blood that was shed. And He's talking in that supper, He's talking about His broken body. It's talking about His shed blood and why He's doing this. He's prophesying, if you will, because He's going to Calvary. His body's going to be broken. His blood's going to be shed. We sang about it, "Oh, precious is the flow, that makes me white as snow." But I wonder if it's really precious to us. I mean, when I got saved, it was one of the most precious things I could ever think of. I couldn't think of anything more precious than the blood of Christ. When I realized He shed His blood, God's blood, according to Acts 20:28, to wash away this old wicked sinner's sins, praise God, it doesn't get any better than that. Amen. Oh, well, you serve a God of hate. No, I serve a God of love, but He's not just love. He's a God of judgment. He's a God that's righteous. He's a God that's holy. He's a God that's always true. He's a God that's just, and He must judge sin. And He judged your sin on Calvary, and you're judged sinless when you go to Calvary and take His righteousness by saying, "Lord, forgive me and save me. I'm trusting You and You alone." That Bible says that if thou shalt confess in thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shall believe in thy heart that God has raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. If you believe you're a sinner and you believe He died for your sins, you believe He's buried and He rose again and that blood could wash away your sin, you call on Him, you're saved if you mean it from the heart. Amen? I like that word "shout." You know, well, you know, maybe, maybe not. No, that's a legal terminology. That means it is going to happen. If you believe that and you trust Jesus Christ, you are going to heaven. If you do it from the heart, I'm not talking about the mind. I believe there's a lot of people out there who have made a decision in their mind that never got to their heart, and they live like the devil. Now, I'm not saying a saved person can't get backslid, messed up, and all goofed up. You know, I can't remember who it was. I can't remember if it was Roloff or Sam, I can't remember which one of the old-time preachers said. I think it was Jack Wood said, do I believe in backsliding? He said, I don't believe it. I practice it a few times. Amen? We're wicked. Amen. All of our righteousness is filthy rags. There's none righteous, no, not one. We have nothing to pat ourselves on the back over. It's all Him. You know, if you go through a day, if you go through an hour where you don't, there's not something. Most days, if there's an hour without something, unless you're praying and reading your Bible for that hour, something's going to happen. Somebody's going to cut you off in traffic. Somebody's going to slam into you at Walmart. Somebody's going to steal something out of your car at Walmart. Amen. Well, of course, you didn't pay for it yet, so I'm not sure that's really stealing. You know how it goes, you know, Black Friday, where they're fighting over TV sets and all that stuff. It's crazy stuff, but you're going to do something wrong. But see, we've got Christ's righteousness. It's about your state and your standing. Where is your standing? You're standing in Christ if you're saved. Now, your state is your walk, is whether you're walking with Him or not. Your state's the condition you're in. I know all kinds of people. I'm just talking about, I'll preach to me now. Y'all can take a nap, amen? You've been waiting to do that, right? Y'all can take a nap. I'll preach to me. Sometimes my condition isn't where Jesus Christ wants it to be. My standing's always right now. It's my state. And it's my state and it's your state that determines the judgment seat of Christ outcome. Is your state with Him, your walk with Him, your talk with Him, your prayer life with Him, your time in that Bible, study to shew thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. You're able to read that Bible and say, Lord, show me how to figure this thing out. Show me why it looks like somebody could lose it here and they couldn't lose it here. What's going on? Undo this mess and give me, increase my faith. Amen? But He's talking in that supper, He's talking about the body that was broken for you, the blood that was shed for you. Do you realize that when His body was broken and His blood was shed and you called on Him and trusted Him as Lord and Savior, do you realize that you were placed in the body? So, well, you're a Baptist. Look, forget the Baptist. Let's look at the Bible. And I'm not anti-Baptist. I'm old school Baptist. Way back beyond the craziness. But you look at the Bible and see what it says. That Bible says in Ephesians 4:30, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. That's the rapture. That's when you get a new body. That Bible says you're sealed by the Holy Spirit of promise. And that Bible says you're taken and placed in Christ, and Christ is in you. And that Bible says Christ is at the right hand of God the Father. That Bible says by those statements that you're in heaven spiritually speaking already. Oh, you Baptists are crazy. No, look, if I wasn't a Baptist and I had a Bible, I would still believe the Bible. If God comes down today and He says, don't believe the Bible, I'm going to go, that ain't you, Lord.
That's right. Amen.
If He come to me and said, forget the Baptist, I'll say, all right.
Amen.
If I'm going with the Baptist, I'm going with the Baptist. If I'm going with the Bible, I'm going with the Bible.
Right.
There's more than Baskin-Robbins flavors of Baptist, amen.
Right.
There's one Bible.
Amen.
Praise God. One.
Amen.
And it doesn't contradict itself. And you don't have 25 versions that say different things that are all the same.
Amen.
There's one. There's one way to heaven. Jesus Christ said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. There's one way. And that's the way He's talking about. When He's at that supper, He's talking about His body being broken. He's talking about His blood being shed. Do you realize what Jesus Christ has done for us?
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
That supper. Knowing what Jesus Christ has done for us, look at verse number 21 and 22. But behold, the hand of him that betrayeth me is with me on the table. And truly the Son of Man goeth, as it was determined. But woe unto that man by whom he is betrayed. He just talks about the supper. You know what we see now? The sellout. The sellout. So, well, who's the sellout? I don't know who's the sellout. I know who the sellout is in that passage. It's Judas. You know who Judas was? He walked with Jesus Christ. He had the powers of the apostles. Think about this. I don't want to get into this lost or saved stuff. That guy was a devil, and then he became the devil when Jesus Christ gave him the sop. But I'll tell you this. He sold out. He decided to follow the silver instead of follow the Savior. You say, well, I'd never sell out for Jesus Christ. Well, people do it every day. I seen a guy reading we got magnets on the back of our car. I seen him, he had a Texas license plate. I noticed this when he come by. And I see Texas or North Carolina, I always think, probably a Baptist, amen. Probably saved, amen. And just out of God's will. because on Sunday morning he's pulling a travel trailer down the road, amen?
Yeah.
And he's probably listening to Benny Hinn or something. But anyway, he's on the road and he's looking, I see him looking at the magnets, he's coming around the car, you know, and he goes on past, you know, and he might be saved, but he sold out. He decided that vacation was more important than Jesus Christ. I'm not saying if you miss church once, you're going to hell. I'm not saying anything like that. I'm saying that people make life-determining and lifelong decisions what they'll do with Jesus Christ. And I've talked to people all the time that are saved that never go to church. And they've got a million excuses. Well, I do too, but my wife still tells me I have to come because I'm the pastor. Amen? So get your excuse list off and mark them off for Jesus. Amen? Amen. Mark them off. And there are a lot of people... well, you know, I would. I love this church. God put me in this church. My kids, you know, I got kids saved in this church, baptized in this church, got married in this church, got whatever. I got saved. You know, my grandma got saved here. Her grandma, on down the line, things. You know, but Pastor, I got this job, and it's going to pay me $15 more an hour. So we're going to move away. I hope I can find a church over there. That's not God's will. I mean, you better check it out. It could be, but you better make sure the church is there before the job. I'm not saying God don't move you to another church. He can do that. But he ain't moving to a job where there ain't no church. I guarantee it. I'll stand before Christ one day and say, Lord, I believe that when I said it, and I still believe it. And if I'm wrong, he'll tell me, but I don't think I'm wrong. You should make decisions based on your spiritual walk and your spiritual well-being and your spiritual relationship with Jesus Christ, not your pocketbook. So Judas decided to follow the silver instead of follow the Savior. People do it all the time. I listened to a preaching video the other day. I can't remember who it was preaching. I think it was, I don't remember for sure who it was. But anyway, the devil pops his videos up on there too, where you listen to him, and it says, you know, wouldn't you like to go up from $200,000 a year to six figures a month to be a kingdom builder? You know what that is? That's somebody that's trying to entice people to follow the silver instead of the Savior. You remember what Jesus Christ said about the purse and the scrip? He said, I told you to go without this stuff. Are you lacking anything? He said, no. He didn't mention a bank account. He didn't mention having the best job in the world. Amen? What he mentioned was walking with him and him taking care of their needs. But Judas and a lot of people, they'll sell out for the silver instead of following the Savior. I think they forgot about the supper. Amen? Oh, precious is the flow. I think a lot of people sing that about their bank account. Mm-hmm. Oh, precious in the flow. Is the flow. I wish I could take it when I go. I think that's most of that. Probably will be a new hymnal song. Amen. The supper, the sellout. Look at verse 24. And there was also a strife among them, which of them should be accounted the greatest. This is a strife between them. This was written, I know the disciples were sitting here, but this was written directly to the Baptist. They're talking about strife. I mean, like I said before, you know, that old boy says, we're at the Hope Baptist Church, and we got into it. We went down the road and started New Hope Baptist Church, and then we went down, you know, we got 6 months down the road, we got into it, went down the road and started No Hope Baptist Church, amen? And that's the way it is. You got Hope Baptist Church, New Hope, No Hope, and most people have no hope because they don't believe the book anymore, they don't care what the Savior did for them, and they're following the silver instead of the Savior. But here he's talking about the strife. These guys weren't following the silver. But you know what their problem was? Pride. Oh, the falling of silver, the love of money is the root of all evil, right? We can see that everywhere. This is pride. Everything's always connected to pride. Why do people want money? Because of their pride. Everything's always connected to pride. Why do people lie? Why do people steal? Why do people cheat? Why do people commit fornication and adultery? Amen. All those things are connected to pride. But these guys here, they say, okay, we're not worried about the silver, Jesus. We're following you. Which one of us you think is going to be the greatest in the kingdom? Yeah. I'll tell you who's the greatest. It's Jesus Christ. Yeah. It ain't going to be Peter. It ain't going to be Paul. It ain't going to be Luke. It ain't going to be me. It ain't going to be you. And none of us are going to be Lord of Lords and King of Kings. But one of them wanted to be. Which one? Which one do you think is going to be the greatest? You know what? He backhands him. He says, the one that's the greatest could be the least. And that's not something you do from here. That's something that happens here. Isn't that something? Oh, the Lord's amazing, isn't he? The way he talks to his disciples, it's almost a parable to them. Amen? Oh, the greatest you've become as the younger. But the strife. Where does strife come from? It comes from pride. Let's talk about it for just a second. Let's plan here for just a second. We talked about it a little bit. Instead of being rooted and grounded in truth, everybody's looking for something new. A lot of people are looking for something new. You know, that's why I say be careful about this rapture dating stuff and all this stuff. Everybody, you know, June 17th and then June 18th gets here. Well, September 9th and then September 9th gets here. And so December 12th, and you know, we're going by the Mayan calendar. Mayan calendar is off by a week, so we're still right. We're just moving it back. Be careful of that stuff because everybody's looking for something new. Why would they even do that? They want people to pat them on the back. This guy knows. He's figured out what nobody could for 2,000 years. Amen? The rapture date. I'll tell you when the rapture is going to happen, when the Lord says it's time. Amen. Today be good, amen? But strife, everybody's looking for something new. You know, people get, they get something new. And then they want to call out a group of people that believe what they believe that the preacher don't believe. Amen. Then they go to New Hope and No Hope. Amen. Instead of going, what about this, preacher? What about this? You know I'm wrong once in a while? If that book says that I'm wrong, I want to be right with that book. But be careful about changing your beliefs that you've had for 30 years and your convictions you've had for 30 years because of the Bible. And following some man. But also be careful not to change to line up with this book when you need to, because we all need to. Occasionally we'll run into something. But the supper, the sellout, the strife. In 28 through 30 it says, ye are they which have continued with me in my temptations. And I appoint unto you a kingdom, as my Father hath appointed unto me, that ye may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom, and sit on thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel. Boy, they're going to get a spot there, aren't they? We see the steadfast. You know what these guys were doing? Ye are they which have continued with me in my temptations. Think about that verse. They continued with him in his temptations. What's that saying? He was tempted in all points yet without sin. Right? So they were sticking with him and doing right. And they were sticking with him through the temptations. 1 Corinthians 10:13 talks about the temptations and how he'll always give you a way out. Right? These guys took the way out. They were steadfast. They wanted to walk with Christ. They wanted to be with Christ. They wanted a relationship to be right with Christ. And he's I'm not saying this. He is. He's telling them, you have continued with me. They have continued to walk with Jesus Christ. And most folks don't do that. Most folks don't do that. Most folks start out wanting to walk with Jesus Christ, and they might think they're walking with Jesus Christ. But if they're not praying, and they're not reading their Bible, and they're not looking for the right church, and they're not in, and I mean in, I'm not talking about putting money in a plate, I'm not talking about, you know, money for missionaries or anything. I'm talking about being in as far as praying for each other and loving each other and being a blessing to one another and being an encouragement. You know what encourages people more than anything sometimes? Especially in a church that's under 50 people. You showing up. Right. If you're in a bad mood, it might encourage somebody for you not showing up. I mean, it encourages people to be around each other that believe the same thing. Amen. I can go to most churches in this town right now and not be encouraged. And there could be thousands of people in there. But I wouldn't be encouraged because we didn't believe the same things. And I could probably leave in a worse shape than I was when I got there. But we believe the same things and we base it on the Bible as best we can. And being together is important. Amen. Talk to people all the time. Well, I don't go to church. I church is in the woods. Church is at the pond. Church is over here. Church is over there. And I said, well, you know, God wants you to be in. Are you saved? Oh, yeah, I'm saved. I got saved 14 times. No, are you saved? Have you ever called on Jesus Christ, trust him as your Lord? Have you ever put your faith in him? Only him. Not your water baptism, not your church membership, not any of that stuff. Not any of your good works. Not any of the money you've done things with or whatever. But Jesus Christ and the blood he shed on Calvary, the death, burial, and resurrection, are you saved? Oh yeah, I'm saved. Well then you should be in church. The other side of that coin is, I tell people all the time, look, you don't have to go to church to get to heaven. If you're lost, you've got to go to Jesus Christ. You can go to church every day of your life. Join every denomination in the world. Get dunked in every water bucket you can find. Get it sprinkled on you. You can do all that stuff. You can get some beads and flip them. You can kiss the Pope's ring. You can donate to charities. And you split hell wide open. Or you can trust Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, never step foot in the house of God, and still go to heaven. You'd just be miserable at the judgment seat of Christ. Because he wants you to have an opportunity to show him that you love him. And that's another thing about eternal security. People don't understand eternal security because they don't love God. You know what they're saying? What they tell me, and what they've told you, and I've heard you say this, that people have told you this, oh, you believe once saved, always saved. You just live like hell, do what you want. I don't believe that. I believe I'm saved forever, but I believe God expects me to do right, and I believe God boots me right in the rear end every once in a while because I'm not. And if you've never been booted in the rear end by God, you're probably not saved.
Right. Amen.
Amen. And if you've been saved over 5 minutes, you're probably just you're just lost.
Yeah.
I remember when I got saved, I was excited, but God was like convicting me on things.
Amen.
Now you're my child, let me tell you what. And some of the things he took away like that. And other things I struggle with still. Amen. I say, well, you know, the old boy said, I quit drinking and cussing and gambling and all that stuff, and I was doing drinking and gambling and all that stuff, and I was doing pretty good on the cuss until Obama got elected. That was the preacher that said that. I'm not going to tell you who. No, I'm just kidding. But the thing is, they don't understand, because when you are saved and you understand what God's done for you and understand what he's doing for you, what he's going to do for you, you'll want to do right. God didn't save you to make you a robot. Amen? God didn't save you to say, I'm taking your free will, I'm going to make you do right. He saved you so you can make a decision to do right and show the world that he is worthy of sacrifice. He is worthy to be followed. He's worthy of your love. Matter of fact, he's the definition of love. All their love is perverted in this world. It's all lust, spelt wrong. The only way you can understand love is when you understand Calvary. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. That's love. Acts 20:28, the church would God purchase with his own blood. That's love. You see, God didn't look down on us and say, man, they're so irresistible, I gotta go die. He loved us. He made a decision to love us and die for us. It was a decision. And you know what he wants you to do? He wants you to make a decision to die for him. Die every day to yourself. Amen? And live for him. He's worthy. You know why we talk to so many people that say, well, I don't go to church because I just don't. Well, there's a couple reasons. First of all, they're getting fleeced and robbed by the TV preachers, a lot of them. They've been hurt by mega churches and stuff that lie to them. You know, when they had to bring their tax records in and promise to give 15% or whatever they got to do. They've been hurt by that stuff. But you know what else hurts them? You know what else destroys them? Bad testimony. And I'm not talking about being at the whorehouse drunk. I'm talking about not living for Jesus Christ, period. I'm talking about never handing out a tract. I'm talking about never telling anybody Jesus Christ died for them. I'm talking about never whistling and saying, hey, oh, precious is the flow. That makes me wise. And then people see nothing different than you. Why would they want to go to church? I mean, they put you together with Joel Osteen. They say, I ain't going. Amen. I ain't going. Joel wants my money, and you know better than I am. So even if I go give you my money, you see, that's the way they look at it. First of all, if you're saved, it's not your money. And if God tells you to do something with it other than put it in that plate, do it. Do what God says. I'm not the Holy Spirit. Everybody should give $18 a day. I'm feeling it. We need $100. I'm feeling somebody's got a $19 in their pocket. And, no. God knows what's in your pocket, and he knows who put it there. Do you? Do you know who put it there? If you know who put it there, you'll do what that person says to do with it. And I'm here to tell you as a Baptist preacher, God doesn't tell you to put everything in a plate. He might tell you to give something here, something there. God's not restricted to a plate. Amen. And I'm not saying not to tithe, not to put an offering in an offering plate. But we're not under the law. God's not going to strike you dead for not giving. Not necessarily. I don't know. I mean, he can do what he wants. But that's good preaching there if you want to make a lot of money. Oh, he'll strike you dead. Boy, if you just give me $1,000 next week, you'll have $14 million in the bank. And you just sow your seed, you know. And we talked about that before. The seed that's supposed to be sown is the Word of God, not money. God owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. He's got a street of gold so pure you can see through it. He don't care about your checkbook. He cares about taking care of your needs. And what we need to figure out is what our needs are compared to what our wants are. Amen. Sometimes we need booted in the rear, and he'll do that too. The supper, the sellout, the strife, the steadfast, they were sticking with him no matter what. You jump down to verse 31, it says, "And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to hear you, or to have you, that he may sift you as wheat." The sifter, y'all, I'm looking at some ladies that probably don't know what a sifter is, and I'm looking at some that definitely know what a sifter is. Amen. You know, ain't nobody baked no bread if they had to sift it anymore. Ain't happening. The sifter. But you know what a sifter does? It makes a better end product. Amen? You sift flour, you do it so the end product's better.
Yeah.
You don't have to do it.
Yeah.
The product's just not going to be as good. So he's talking about the sifter's the devil. He wants to sift you. When you want to walk with God, you want to talk with God, you want to be with God, you want to have a good prayer life, you want to have a good Bible study life, you want to try to find a good church and be in it and stick in it and pray for each other, the devil wants to sift you. Look at the Savior in verse 32. Let's read them both together again. 31, "And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren." Now listen. The Lord's prayer here was not that Satan didn't sift Peter. Listen now. He didn't pray, "Please, Father, don't let Peter be sifted." He asked that his faith fail not. Sometimes you get sifted. You go through that process. And Christ's prayer for Peter and for you, and our prayer should be for each other, that our faith fail not. You know, I could sit up here and do this prosperity baloney and tell you, oh man, y'all should be rich, y'all should be happy, be driving a Jaguar, and you should have a free mechanic on speed dial, and you need one if you got a Jaguar or whatever. You know, and all this stuff, and you know, you give to us, and you know, God wants me to be rich, so if you give to me, then good night, you give me $1 million, God will give you $10 million. It might take him a couple years, but I'll be in Tahiti when you figure out it ain't going to work. You know, all that junk. But you know what the truth is? The truth is hard times come, trials come, tribulations come, heartache comes. Sometimes it feels like your heart's just been ripped out of your chest. You know what your prayer for each other should be? Don't let their faith fail. Amen. See, the prosperity people is not only damning people to hell that are lost, it's destroying people that are saved. It's destroying their opportunity to walk with Christ and actually be a Christian. The Savior's prayer was that his faith fail not. I'm a blessed man to be able to pastor this church. I don't care if there's a church down the road that had 300 people and they had offered me $1 million a month. If God ain't in that, it ain't the right place. You guys are good to me. You always have been. But I have seen some things and learned some things in this church by looking at the pews and seeing people that are faithful when they're going through things that are horrible. So, well, the guy down the street's running 200. Well, eventually you run half them off, and he'll be down to 100, and he'll keep doing that. That's the way the math works. But the thing is, it doesn't matter about the quality as much as it does the quantity. Or the quantity as much as it does the quality. Sorry, I said that backwards. I'm talking about the quantity of a Christian, what you can actually, what God will allow in your life that you'll stick with him through. Christ didn't say, oh, protect Peter and let him be wealthy and happy and never have a problem. He prayed that his faith didn't fail. We ought to be praying that for each other. Amen. Especially as we see the day approaching. I mean, this place is a nightmare. I mean, this this is a 500-yard dumpster kicked over with flames coming out of it, and this world is. The Savior. Verse 42. Here he is and praying in the garden, Father, saying, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. We see the surrendered. That's our example of heading into the storm. Heading into the storm. He knew the storm was coming. Every tax season, man, I know the storm's coming. You know? I wait for the guy to go, hey, you still owe $1,800? Yeah, whatever. You still owe $2,200? Okay, well, whatever. But the old account was settled long ago. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Old precious is the flow. Amen. But Jesus Christ surrendered heading into the storm. He knew he was going to go through, he was going to go through something that we'll never have to go through. If you're saved, you'll never have to go through it. And he surrendered to it. He surrendered to the Father's will in face of the storm. That's what we have to do. We have to surrender God's will before the storm gets here. Just surrender to it. And pray for each other that our faith fail not. And you get over to verse number 46, down to 46. Let's read 45 and 46. And when he rose up from prayer and was come to his disciples, he found them sleeping for sorrow. And said unto them, why sleep ye? Rise and pray, lest ye enter into temptation. So we've seen the supper, we've seen the sellout, the strife, the steadfast, the sifter, the Savior's prayer, the surrendered Savior. And now we look at the sleeping. Not lost people. We're talking about people that walked with Jesus Christ that were asleep. You know where I think 2/3 of saved people are today? They're asleep. They're asleep. They wake up long enough to do what the flesh wants, but they're spiritually asleep. You know, they get little hints of this and hints of that about what might be going on spiritually from somebody else, but they're spiritually asleep. I'm telling you, if you don't pray and don't read your own Bible and don't have your own walk with Christ, you're just asleep. He says, watch and pray that you enter not in temptation. Don't raise your hand, but you got to be honest. Whenever you fail and fall and give into temptation, it's not when you're watching and praying. It's when you're not. It's not when you're knocking out 10 chapters of the Bible a day. I'm not saying that's a, you know, praise God, read it. 10 chapters ain't that long. I'm not saying that that's a definite. That's, here, we read 9.4. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying you don't give in and suffer through temptation and go through it and fail when you're putting your time in your Bible and you're praying. So we understand the storm. I do understand storms come, but I understand that when temptation comes, the temptation is not a sin. It's giving into the temptation. And if you're praying and reading your Bible, and good night, man, today with all the technology we got, you can get a hold of anybody in 3 seconds and have them praying for you and praying with you. Amen? No sense failing. No excuse to give in to temptation. You know, people without God are without hope and without excuse, but we shouldn't be. We don't have an excuse either. We shouldn't be making excuses. We have God. God has us. We have a Bible, a church family, prayer life, hopefully. Amen. A place to meet a few times a week, fellowship, worship Him, brag on Him, sing about Him. Amen. I don't know. We've been staying out of the stores as much as possible because of the music and the freak show and everything that's going on. We're just thinking about having everything delivered to the house and blacking out the windows and staying in there until church time. But I noticed I've been waking up in the morning and even after a rough night thinking, there was a time on earth when in the book of heaven. Amen? About 3 or 4 days of that in a row, you get pretty stirred up. Isn't that good? I miss that. When it leaves, I miss it. But I like to have those songs, those hymnal songs, on my mind and my heart. And when they're there and they start coming out, you know what you realize? something's going right. Something's going. I'm not listening to oldies music in my head because I was in Walmart for 4 hours. Or God forbid, I spent an hour and a half at the buffet at Golden Corral listening to that music. Anyway, I say an hour and a half at the buffet because you got a long lines, many plates. I mean, small. If they get real big plates. Are you awake? I'm not talking about during the sermon. I know you're not awake. I'm talking about spiritually during the day, during the week, between church services. Are you awake? Are you praying? Are you reading your Bible? Are you trusting God? Are you praying for each other? Oh, Lord, they're going through it. I know you all pray for me and pray for us, and I thank God for you. The last 10 months have been... Whew. But praying for each other that our faith fail not. My wife said something to me that gave me more encouragement than anything I've heard in a long time. She said, we're old. We're not going to be here long. I said, praise God. Bring it on. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. Rapture, undertaker. I'm going to heaven either way, amen. I'm a sissy. I'd like to have a quick heart attack and be done. I don't want to be drugged down the road, face down, bleeding, and limbs ripped off. I just want to go. But either way, the end result's heaven. Amen. Pray that our faith fail not as we go through the days ahead. If you're here today and you've never trusted Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, today should be the day for you. If the Holy Spirit's dealt with your heart, showed you you're a sinner, for all of sin to come short of the glory of God, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. All you have to do is call on Him, trust Him from the heart. Say, Lord, forgive me and save me. I'm trusting You. And look, it's not the prayer that saves you, it's your heart. It's the fact that you'll turn to Him and ask Him. It's not the prayer that saves you, it's the blood that saves you. It's believing in the death, burial, and resurrection, trusting His finished work on Calvary. That saves you. But won't you call on Him today? Won't you call on Him today? Heads bowed and eyes closed for just a minute. Nobody looking around. If you've never trusted Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, you can ask Him from your seat to forgive you and save you. You can come down the aisle and I can show you from the Word of God. Don't take my word for it. Take the Word of God for it. That book says in Romans 3:23, for all of sin to come short of the glory of God. We are all sinners. Whether you told a lie, stole anything, committed murder, it's all sin. For the wages of sin is death. There's a price to be paid for sin. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. The price was paid on Calvary, and He's offering you that payment for your sin as a gift. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thy heart that God has raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. If you believe you're a sinner, you believe He died for your sins, you believe He rose again, you believe His blood could save you, you call on Him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You could know before you walk out these doors today that heaven will be your home one day. Or you could walk out these doors and chance having a heart attack, getting hit by a car, shot by a stray bullet in this crazy world, and die and go to hell forever. Choice is yours. God's made the choice on Calvary. The choice is yours. A few minutes of silence. If you never trusted Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, won't you do business with God and get it right today?